Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Kaylin. Kaylin Patterson. Paper P Real Talk, Midwest Muscle. And this program is sponsored by Paper P Muscle, the number one drug free philosophy foundation in the world. In the world. And if you are a drug free athlete and looking for a solid foundation to stand on, not a cement block, not concrete, and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Dad?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream, mate.
I tell you what, here we go. Check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now, chillins, youngins, and some elders, and some that just don't fret much, let's talk. Hey, Dad.
Let's talk. Hey, Kaylin, how are you?
Oh. We were going to ask that.
Well, here's the deal, because Kaylin's probably not going to share it, so I'm going to go ahead and share, because, hey, that's what I do for my listeners. But he was doing a good job this morning, doing his Kaylin dues, out there mowing the lawn, and came across something in the yard, and he did what he was supposed to do. He turned the lawnmower off, unplugged it. So given that you said it was unplugged, I'm going to assume it's an electric lawnmower. Maybe I've got the story incorrect here. But
no,
he turned off whatever he needed to turn off. He unhooked the battery.
The battery.
There we go. I knew there was unhooking of some sort going on. And he still managed to cut himself on the blade. And he cut himself pretty good. From what I could see, it was probably at least about an inch and a half, 2-inch cut in the middle of his hand. So, but good news. Good news is, even though there was much bleeding and fear of passing out, he was able to walk away with just some glue stitches. So
yeah.
I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So, and it sounded like there was some flirting going on between the nurses and Kaylin, which is not uncommon.
Oh, here we go.
But I just, you don't want to share. So if you want to send him some well wishes, some quick healing prayers, because you know he's got to keep training. We got shows coming up. It's the beginning of competition season, folks, and people are stepping on stage left and right. In fact, Romer Mendez just had his Buffalo Spring Fest. Looked like it was a tremendous show. The bikini girls that I saw pictures of looked fabulous, because you know bikini's my thing. But it just looked like he had some real good talent on that stage.
Yes, he did. And, you know, I'm so happy that even the beginning of the year shows have people coming in looking like they're looking, because that's really showing the progress that we're having in the industry. And that's pretty much what we needed, you know, where you don't have what I used to call the stage-ready physique. And then I think I know that person because their voice sounds familiar physique, which is basically – all season, and I say that in quote-unquote, but my goodness, it was really holding back progression of the sport in such amazing ways.
Yep. And I would say, and I know, I mean, personally for me, always the beginning of the year, that prep is tough. It just is. And I tend to compete, you know, usually in spring shows, and I always feel like I'm more ready for whatever reason. In summer and fall, I think it's for me, I need a kickoff show is what it usually attributes to. But, you know, this year, even though this particular prep has been kind of precarious for me, I think things are going to fall into place, but you know what? They're going to have to. I've got about a little over 2 weeks to step on stage, Natural Southern States Classic. So we'll see what's happened, but still grinding hard. So you guys sent some well-wishing vibes to me, too, and let's see if we can't do some good stuff on that stage.
Hey, hashtag fit girl prep issues.
There you go. But the show must go on. The show goes on whether the prep is easy or not. So you're either going to stick with it or you're not, and that's pretty much the long and short of it. So I'm still sticking with it, and we're going to see what happens. But speaking of the show going on, we are going to have an awesome show tonight. It's a little bit different than what we traditionally put on, but we had a listener request for this very special lady that's joining us, and she was gracious enough to actually accept our invitation and join us.
Yay.
So, you know, if you have seen our promo messages, then you have an idea of who it is that we're going to be bringing on. But if you don't, let me give you a quick introduction. She calls herself a certified hot mess mama, and that mama is Carol Ann Miljavik. If I pronounce that right, I'm terrible at murdering names. You guys know that. I've been trying to practice, but anyway, she's a coach, a motivational speaker. What? Oh. I'm not prepared to say Chad's last name. It's either Adamovich or Adamovich. It goes either way. You say Chad's last name, Kaylin.
He doesn't, but his name does.
Back to Carol Ann. She's also a social media comedian and also calls herself a witness of a faith-driven life. Carol Ann, say hi to all of our P4P fam on the other end of the radio.
Hi, hi. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for asking me.
And thanks for accepting
out.
Yes, I was going to say, I've kind of given some highlights, but I'm pretty sure I didn't do you justice. So go ahead and share some more information with us about who you are.
Okay, well, you know, I'm super pumped to be on the call. All natural pumps, though, just pure adrenaline, nothing else, just, you know. But I am really excited to be on the call. My name is Carol Ann Miljavik. You nailed it. For short, much easier. Most people just call me CA. So I am a Team Beachbody coach. I consider myself more of a life coach and a motivational speaker. And I guess I have sprouted into somewhat of an online comedian by total accident. But turns out people like the goofy side. So most of my story, I think that what might have drawn even one listener to wanting to have me on is the openness that I decided to have on my social media. So I'm just a normal person who's gone through the same ups and downs of life that everyone's going through all the time. And I think the difference is I decided to take it, to allow it to be worked out for the good. And I'm a firm believer that when you open up and share what you're going through in life, but more importantly, how you're getting through it, that's where the value is found. And through some different things that happened stemming from just even childhood, but more recently through the loss of my six-year-old niece to cancer in 2015, I had some major humbling broken down moments where I realized how much bigger this life is than just whatever little petty things it is that I'm struggling with on a day-to-day basis. And I just decided to make the rest of my life about pouring into others as much as I possibly could and serving a bigger purpose, a higher calling, and making life really enjoyable despite all of the ups and downs and the bad things that happen. So.
Gotcha. And, you know, you just really have to do that. Otherwise, life is just going to kick your butt and then stomp on you after you're down. So you have to find that reason and that motivation to keep going.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, like, I think it's a perfect – this is a perfect podcast for me to be on because I'm not I'm not a bodybuilder. I will say I actually did purchase, like, the, I don't know if y'all have heard of it, the Contest Prep Secrets program. I don't
no.
remember who
it was. It had to be from a beginner. No.
Well,
everybody start somewhere, Kaylin. Stop it.
Yeah, get Planet Fitness started.
I didn't know what else to do. I couldn't afford a coach at the time, so I had decided that I wanted to be in a speaker competition, and so I had ventured down that route and learned a lot about it. I listened to DVDs from top judges, and I mean the whole works. I was going to do it, and it turns out my husband wasn't so comfortable with it, so I was like, "Dang it! Okay, I'm gonna
Ted.
Uh-oh,
Ted."
So
yeah,
I'm,
our
like,
listener Chad wanted to know if you're single, but she's a married mom.
Yeah, totally. Oh gosh, very much a mom of three. I've got three little girls, and truth be told, I'm actually sitting in my driveway in my car right now because I knew if I was anywhere in the house, if I was past the garage, that they were going to bust up in on this call. So I'm sitting in my car in my driveway, so I can talk to y'all right now.
Well, we appreciate the effort, and we've already got several listener questions pouring in, so we want to start to get those out there before we run out of time. So the first one is, Lisa wants to know if you are the one from the videos, and so the short answer to that, Lisa, is yes, she's the one.
Absolutely.
And the same, but I want to kind of tie this in with our question from Belinda, who says she's a big fan and she wants to know how you got your sense of humor. So talk to us a little bit about, I guess, how you got your sense of humor and then how that turned into making these videos.
Yeah, so my sense of humor actually was such a blessing. It's, I feel like it was a gift, truly a gift from God, because with the life that I had growing up, if I didn't have a sense of humor, I would have been very, very miserable. So I kind of, my whole family is a pretty funny family. We're really good at taking hard times and kind of seeing the humor in it or the light in it, making jokes of it. We grew up in poverty. I mean, below poverty level, poor. And I'm talking, we had, you know, Goodwill clothes and, a lot of things donated from the church and a lot of struggle, you know, so utilities cut off month to month and I didn't have nice clothes. So I was bullied a lot. And really, when I was in about middle school is when I really started to figure out that it was a lot better for me if I could make people laugh than to be the butt of the joke and be the only one not laughing. And so I started to pursue, make it like my mission in life to be the one making the joke and making them laugh, because one, it made me really happy. I always liked making people smile, and it made me feel really good to make someone laugh. It's always given me a lot of joy, but it became sort of a defense mechanism when I was in middle school, and it helped me be a part of the crowd I thought I wanted to be
in. I'm laughing just listening. I just love the way you talk. I'm laughing just listening. Thank you.
Yeah. And I do definitely utilize the accent. That's it's a lot thicker if I'm excited, angry, or or being really goofy. So yeah, that's kind of where it stemmed from. If they're curious about the videos, that was actually the first video that I had go viral was a big part of me actually letting go of that chain of fear of judgment and what people think of you. I had been in the process for about a year at that point of really letting go of a lot of chains that I felt held me back in life. And one of the big ones was what people thought of me. And I had not put any of my sense of humor or goofy ball stuff out there because, you know, my self-doubt thoughts were they're going to think you're stupid and no one's going to think you're funny. And there's plenty of those too out there. But about a year into it, the team that I am a part of, they had a Dance Like No One's Watching challenge. And most of the time when people do a Dance Like Nobody's Watching challenge, it's a Dance Like Nobody's Watching, but I know people are going to see it, so I'm not actually going to go there. And I just decided that I was going to go there, that I was going to hit the
score. You went for it.
Yeah, I went for it. I just let loose. This is what I do. It was real. I mean, including the part where I choked on my spit in the middle of it and I died. You know, I kept that in there because that's real life. So I think that it really resonated with people because it was me genuinely being real. And it took me a good couple hours to muster up the courage to post it because it was embarrassing because anytime you're being yourself and you're being real and you're being vulnerable, it's scary to let people see it. Yeah, but when you let people see it, you experience so much growth and freedom, and it breaks that chain. And when that chain is broken, it really releases you to enjoy your life because – when you're always worried about what people think of you, you really just can't be yourself. And it really puts a damper on your day. It puts a damper on everything in your life, going to work, whatever it is you're doing throughout the day, you know, like, amen. Yep. You know? And so I hit post, it went viral. And then I that was all I needed. It gave me the courage to keep doing it. And it turned out like 7 more went viral and the videos just kept doing well. And then the platform was born.
And, you know, I couldn't agree more about just letting go of things that inhibit you from being who you are, especially what other people think about you. I mean, and even it doesn't even have to be being goofy, but just in life itself. But if you can do it being goofy, then all the better for you. But I remember, like, not feeling like I really grew and felt comfortable in my own skin until I hit like 30. And I had been dreading turning 30 for like years. I was just like, oh my gosh, life ends at 30. And kind of for me, life was, because I was getting ready to go through a divorce, turning 30, you know, just a lot of different things were stacking up, like all at that moment. But, you know, my 30s were literally some of the best years of my life. But it wasn't until I like hit a third of my life that I was finally like gave myself permission just to be myself.
Yeah, you know, I think, like, I speak to so many women, and the most common theme, I think, amongst people, men and women, both, is this not knowing what your purpose is, what you're great, like, what are you waking up every day for, what value are you adding, you know, to the world, and a big part of not being able to figure out what that purpose is never letting go of caring what people think of you. It prevents you from experiencing life to the fullest in so many different levels. And so if that is the one chain I ever could encourage someone to really work on breaking, then that's it. And the main way to do that is to get uncomfortable. If something makes you uncomfortable, if a red light comes up or your flesh is like, don't do it, or makes you nervous, that's your sign that you need to do it. That's the thing you need to do. You need to go for it. Because even if it, you know, this whole idea of, but what if I fail, if it doesn't work out, what it does is it teaches you how to do it better next time. So there's no such thing as failure as long as you're trying. And if you're putting yourself out there, then that's not failing. That's you giving yourself a chance to bloom into whoever it is you were created to be. And, you know, I think that I just gave myself that chance. And I think a lot of that, like I said, stemmed from when my niece was diagnosed with cancer and I went to visit her at St. Jude, it really opened my eyes. You know, you have those moments in life that humble you, and I mean humble you, and break you down and make you realize that all the things you thought were so important just don't matter at all. And so it kind of, for me, that the having that experience lifted that off of my shoulders. And I kind of, truthfully, I gave God permission to just like take over and work in me, and I let go of control, and I just kind of followed his lead. Whatever he put on my heart to do, I would do it. And it usually meant something that scared the crap out of me. But I started being the kind of person who says yes instead of no. So when you asked if I would speak on the podcast, immediately it was, of course. I'd be lying if it
thank
wasn't.
You.
No.
Thank you.
It's a little nerve-wracking. You know, these things are always, they make you nervous because you know that it's just one more way for you to, it's another door. I mean, being on this podcast right now is just one more way that God has placed doors in my life where I have an opportunity to share a piece of my heart and story with people. And so every chance I get, I'm going to walk through. And so I just want to
encourage
you. So I just want to, you know, I want to encourage people to do this through the doors. And really, that's where I discovered that, yeah, you know, I'm funny and stuff, but when people get to my pages and they realize that.
Well, I love it.
When people get to the page, though, I think they that it's not that's not all you're getting. You know, that's not even really. I think that's what brings people there. But I think people stay because the passion that I have that, you know, makes me wake up every morning and hop out of bed is getting to motivate and pour and share some value just from experiences and struggles that I've had my entire life. And coming from a person who's always been extremely insecure, and up until about 2 years ago, very insecure, not very confident, afraid to take chances, take risks, and always having those negative self-talk thoughts running through my brain, you know. And so if I can change and if I can become the person I was always created to be, then anybody can. And that's just what I want to get out there.
Do we even need to go to the show? Do we need anything else after that? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we could. We could end right there, but then, there you go. But then our listeners would be disappointed because we didn't ask all their questions. So
that's true.
And so I do have one. I want to, you had touched on your niece, and that one of our listeners, Dale, he was wanting to know more information about her type of cancer that she had and maybe some of the symptoms that led her parents to find out that that's, you know, determined that is what she had.
Yeah, she had, hers was a very rare form of childhood cancer called rhabdomyosarcoma, also known as RMS. And truthfully, her symptoms were, it seemed like she was having allergies or that she, slowly but surely, like over the course of time, she started having a really hard time swallowing. And then at night, she would kind of like stop breathing for a second. And mm-hmm. my sister thought that she probably needed her tonsils removed because they had been to the doctor. They were given antibiotics and all that kind of stuff, and nothing was working. And so my sister got really nervous, and so my sister took her to the emergency room. And it was actually an EMT who, thank God he was there, because the doctors were still kind of like, we don't know what you want us to do. There's nothing we can do. It's just allergies or it's just whatever. And the EMT was like, actually, I looked down at her throat and I feel like I saw something, so I think you should check it out. And so they took her back for an X-ray, and that's when they discovered the tumors. She had two.
That ram in the bush.
Yeah. Yeah. She had, there was like two pretty large tumors right behind her facial palate that had grown. They were growing rapidly at that point. So they were growing down into her throat, which is why she was having a hard time swallowing and breathing. And so for her, it was a very, out of nowhere, it was a shock, shocking. It was hard to accept. And then they were sent straight from Huntsville, Alabama to St. Jude in Tennessee. So they didn't, it was just like, bam, bam, she's got cancer. You've got to go to St. Jude immediately now. And then she went straight into surgery from there.
Oh, wow.
So it was which, and I, you know, when I say that too, though, sometimes I want to make it very clear, though, because it's real easy for parents to hear stories like this and then, like, freak out over every little thing. I know the feeling. I wanted to take all three of my girls to get full-body exams when this happened, just to make sure, you know. And I just want to encourage you not to let the spirit of fear, like, overwhelm you, and just trust your spirit, trust your instincts and your gut. And if you feel like there's something going on,
2 Timothy 1 and 6.
Yeah, just pursue it, but don't live fearful, you know, and don't, you know, freak out over every little thing, but just be, you know, cautious, because hers was it was crazy.
Wow.
So this happened, and this was a very tough time for you, as you said, but one that was a pivotal point for you, because, you know, through it all, you're still dealing with other issues that had, you know, perpetuated themselves over the years, and you found yourself in a very down and dark place. But then you also found, you know, a couple different things that helped you overcome that. And even though Kaylin made fun of your video that you purchased, health and wellness was one of them. So kind of walk us through that, because, you know, when you're down and you're depressed, you know, exercise is tough to wrap your mind around, you know, much more using it as the ladder to pull you up out of that darkness. So kind of step us through how that happened for you.
Yeah, so I was 2 years into my coaching business at the time that Ansley was given her diagnosis. And truth be told, like, I'm like everyone else. I think that in social media especially, you can kind of get this impression that some people just don't struggle. They just wake up motivated every day. They just, no problem. And that's
like
not
they do
me.
With
it's never, yeah, and you know, I think especially for coaches or people in my line of work, they feel like they need to put on that perspective for people to want to work with
them.
And I fell into that category, you know, at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to figure it out. And so I was losing my joy, though, as something that I really loved so much, that I believed in so much. I was beginning to lose my joy in it, is because I wasn't being myself. And so when that happened, I was still someone very much on the up and down. You know, I've always struggled with binge eating, emotional eating, especially emotional eating. And so, you know, when something like this happens, it'd be really easy. If you're an emotional eater and you have a niece dying of cancer, then that's an easy
one.
And I feel like people definitely kind of hold on to the bad things that are happening in their lives because they make good excuses for making bad decisions. And so I knew I had that choice. But the thing that happened for me was when I went to go visit her, because the first week she got sick, I immediately got on the plane. I was like 7 months pregnant. And I immediately got on the plane and went to visit her. And what I witnessed there, having seen not just my niece, but seeing all of, I mean, newborn babies, toddlers.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
It was so eye-opening. And it really hit me hard that they had no control over their health and what their body was going through. And it made me ashamed of myself to have a single day in my life where I wake up and don't treat my body the way it deserves to be treated. When I know that at this very moment, as we speak on this podcast, there are hundreds of children at that hospital in Tennessee who can't do any of the things that children like to do. They can't run. They can't play. My niece was a dancer. She was a dancer since she was tiny, and she was a member of a dance company, and she had to have braces put on her legs. She had to use a walker. She eventually lost the ability to walk. And I'm just over here like, and I'm complaining that I can't just do this 30-minute workout or this hour-long workout when I have a healthy, fit body that's capable. So I really, it became, for one, it became my no excuse. I could not do excuses. And then it also became my stress reliever. So, you know, throughout that year, I began doing a program called Body Beast, which is a weightlifting program. And I really found a love. I discovered a love for lifting weights that I didn't even know that I had. And truthfully, almost every day I cried through my workout. It was such a stress reliever for me. It allowed me to work through my emotions, and it allowed me to put that urge to binge eat into my workout instead, and then go upstairs and chug some water, you know, and eat something healthy, you know. And so exercise really became my outlet of therapy to get through that hard time in my life. And I know a lot of people will tend to use hard times in their life or things that are stressing them out as a reason not to take care of themselves, you know, that self-destructive mindset. And or not, you know, you have a bad day at work, or you're just super tired, or the kids are driving you crazy, so you skip your workout. When if you were to do the workout, it would relieve you of that stress, you know, that you're experiencing, whatever it is that's causing it. It would relieve you, and it would help you to be happy in the midst of whatever it is that's frustrating you. Because, you know, as we know, happy people are not unhappy. So working out makes you happy. You know, it literally releases endorphins, and it helps you. Even if you're not smiling at the end of it, odds are you feel better. I've really and truly never had a single – I've been a coach for 4 years. I've coached many women. I've never heard of anyone getting their workout done and not feeling better, you know. And sometimes the hardest thing in the world is just to get dressed and either go to the gym or, you know, if you work out at home to push play, that's the hardest part, is just those few minutes before. But once you get started, it's just – you start to experience the relief, you know, that stress. It's just like a weight off your shoulders. And so – I would had no problem, you know, shedding tears during my workout, and it really helped me. And it also helped me after her loss, you know, after we lost her, after she passed away, that mindset continued. And really, that experience that I had was, thank God I had a platform because of a viral video to share what was happening, you know, because if I can still make this happen, if I can still do this, if I can still take care of myself, despite a really harsh tragedy that my family was experiencing, then anybody can, you know, really anybody can. And, you know, my brother-in-law, who, you know, it was his daughter, he would get his workouts in, you know, in the hospital room. You know, he would be literally holding a bucket for her to puke in and then get to his workouts. And so I'm just over here like, man, like nobody has an excuse not to take care of themselves. Like you truly, anyone can make it happen. And I think that excuses are just your comfort blanket to give you something to say, a reason why you're not taking care of yourself, because the hardest thing in the world to do is say, you know what, I don't care about myself. I don't think I'm worth my time. And truth be told, I'm a little lazy. And I think most people don't really want to admit that. But when it comes down, the root of it is just that. You're being lazy. You don't love yourself. You're not, and that's why you don't want to take care of yourself. And so my mission really became, let me help people on the mentality front, on the emotional front, on the spiritual front, so that they love themselves enough to begin with to do the work on the days they don't want to do it.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Ivy. Thank you so much, thank God, that you just let this woman be known to us, because I'm enjoying every single moment. And I'm just going to sit back, drop my microphone, and let Dez and this lady take over, because they're doing so well.
Yeah, right. You're just over there losing blood from your cut. Like, I'm going to pass out. Let me throw out a few compliments before I pass out from this cut I gave myself.
It could be part of that. I'm feeling a little lightheaded.
Well, hopefully he's gotten over it, gotten some sustenance in there or something, some extra fluids pumped back in there. So, but you know what, you are just so right. You know what? No, we're not going. Okay, so I'm going to instead of just brushing past this, I'm going to take a step back. So on our last show, we had on great guy, motivational speaker, also physical therapist, JoJo Safer.
Oh, no, you're not.
And,
you're not.
And he,
you, are not.
You opened the door.
You opened the door.
So we're walking through it. And he was saying some of the same things that you are saying, Carol Ann. So you're just reiterating part of what he was saying. And part of it is, you know, when you exercise, your body releases the feel good endorphins, you start to feel happier. Also, we had a chiropractor on, Dr. Kevin Miller with EB2 Chiropractor, a couple of weeks ago, again, talking about the same feel-good endorphins, but how, you know, having a healthy gut and exercise actually plays into that to relieve stress and all of these different things. So I'm just reaffirming that what you're saying, 100% true. I wholeheartedly agree. I hope everyone is listening, because they've heard it from three different sources now. So, guys, exercise is good. And I know I'm preaching to the choir with most of our listeners, but if we have some folks that are still, you know, trying to decide if they want to incorporate something like that into their lifestyle, I'm just going to say don't fight it. So there's that PSA. Now, the second one, then, going into Kalen, and his comment that he made that he should not have made, because it was tongue-in-cheek. It was tongue-in-cheek, but I caught it, so I'm going to go ahead and call this out. So Dr. JoJo said men are usually one of two things. They're either hurt or they're horny. So today, Kalen added a third, not hurt, they're either hungry or horny. Today he added a third H, was they're either hungry, horny, or hurt. So in this instance, he was wrapping up, I sure did, that third H right there, pumped full of fluids, gotcha. I know where you were going with that. Instead of just saying no, though, I'm putting it into context as to what was actually going on and how I understand it. So there we go. That's the second PSA. You've got the three H's. You've got the feel-good endorphins. We have got it all tonight. We're good. We are good. So now I'm going to get us back on task, is what we were talking about. And you know what? Just thanks so much for reminding us that we don't have excuses. I already did. I did it. Let it go. I did it. It's done.
Oh, my goodness.
So thank you for that. And I do have one question that I want to squeeze in here before I totally forget it. So, Cheryl, thank you for being patient with me. But Cheryl would like to know, and this, we are changing subjects here, guys, so bear with me. She wants to know if you do any comedy shows locally, or do you do any stand-up of any kind, because she thinks you are just so funny.
You know, actually, that isn't something that has come up, you know, yet. The first video went viral about a year ago. It was actually the one-year anniversary this last week. And so in the last year.
Happy anniversary.
Ah, thank you. So in the last year, there's I've been doing the funny videos on social media. I haven't pursued that, so I haven't, you know, went out and, you know, tried to do that. It's not stand-up comedy is just so much different than really what I could probably stand in front of people and just talk, but if it was presented, I would probably entertain it. It's just not something that's come up at this point, but it would be cool, and I'm glad that, you know, that she thinks I'm funny. It's one of those things that, you know, it's a really intimidating type of a thing, because really with my kind of humor, I'm not like making jokes necessarily. I'm just kind of saying things off the whim, you know, and it just turns out that if you throw a Southern accent on there, people tend to get a laugh out of it. It's kind of what I've always done for my family. You know, I would always reenact skits from different movies and Saturday Night Live skits and things like that. So I've always enjoyed it. If that's in my future, and if the door is presented to me, then like pretty much everything else, I'll walk through it. So maybe one day, fingers crossed.
Maybe. So when your videos started taking off and your following just started to explode, I mean, did that really just blow your mind? What was going through your head at that point in time?
Well, the first thing that went through my head was, oh, my gosh, I just gave 17 million people a chance to watch me twerk and choke on my spit. So I knew that I had never ever seen any video on social media that I absolutely loved that didn't have really hateful comments on it. So I had a moment of fear where I was like, "Ooh, people are going to rip me a new one because I just gave them a lot to rip on." But after that, it dawned on me that, you know, a year prior to that video going viral is when I regave my life to God. So for me, it was just one more thing that he did in my life to kind of reinstate what he had promised me a year prior. So a year prior to that, and anyone who knows me can tell you, my team will tell you, before the first video went viral, a year before the first video went viral, I told them that I had given up everything to God, that I was just going to let him work through me, like my business, everything. And one of the first two words that he constantly put in my mind was public speaking. It was just, and the reason I say he put it there is because I sure as heck wasn't going to come up with that on my own, you know, out of nowhere. It's the scariest thing ever. So the minute I told him, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it, the first thing he said was public speaking. And I was like, what? Are you serious? Of course that would be the first thing you do. You know, like, so, but I told him I couldn't get that out of my head, you know, and I was telling everybody. I told my mom, I told my family, I told my team, I told my my page, because, you know, when the first video went viral, I went from 300 followers to about 50,000 in a couple of days. And then
wow.
I told the page, I was like, hey, you know what, I know y'all are here for the funnies, but this is what has actually happened in my life, and this is what I keep having put on my heart is going to happen, and I kept saying that, and I didn't know how it was going to happen, and then the video went viral, and then out of nowhere, I realized that now I had an opportunity via live feed to do public speaking every day to a massive amount of listeners, and so it was just like a confirmation for me that he sees me. It's real. When he tells you, when he put a promise in my heart, he would make it happen as long as I got out of his way and let him do his work through me. And that if you have something, if he tells you to do something, no matter what, even if you're scared, I had to become the kind of person who it always came down to, he told me to do it, so I have to do it. It doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter what everyone else thinks. It's between me and God, and he wants me to do it, so I have to do it. Even not knowing where that was going to lead or what it was going to happen from it. And just turned out that when he told me public speaking, he always had a plan to make it happen. And it had just so happened to be through viral videos. And so much more of what I, it was incredible. For me, it was like a miracle, you know? So I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe God used me twerking to get people to come over and listen to my testimony. But that's, you know, you never know how he's going to work in mysterious ways. whatever you need to do, you know. So, but then I realized that the next scary step, the really next scary step, was for me to be willing to be open about
yes.
the role that that God played in my life. Because with that many people who all at once to see me, and all they knew was they thought I was funny. And truth, if we're going to be totally brutally honest right now, most people who've had even one viral video actually have like 200,000, 300,000 followers just because of that one funny viral video. I've had seven, and I have over 50 million views, you know, not including a lot of the videos. And I have, you know, I have 160,000, and it's growing. But I really, truth be told, every time I talk about my faith, every time I share my testimony, and every time I put whatever he puts on my heart, I open my mouth and I speak it no matter what. I'll lose at least 500 to 1,000 followers every time I do that. And I just kind of made a decision that I wasn't going to operate for the world. I was going to operate for the mission that he gave me and for the purpose he has given me. And, you know, my sense of humor is a gift he gave me, so I am not going to utilize the platform he blessed me with to do anything other than what he wants me to do. So I don't care if I lose followers over it. I always share my testimony, and that's really what I feel like the purpose of my page is. And the funnies are really just kind of an added bonus that you get while you're there.
Amen.
Amen. Just keep going to that. So, Mike, well, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, I said, you know, it's a scary thing to be open about that and to put that out there because you know you're going to get rejected on a massive level when it comes to your faith.
Yep.
And so that was another example of feeling fear and, you know, doing it anyway.
Well, what I was going to say is Mike is one fan that you haven't lost because he's been a fan for 6 months now, and he says he's going to binge watch on your videos to get caught up, but he wants to know how long you're planning to keep doing what you're doing.
Forever, always, until the day I die. I'm never going to, you know, what I think a lot of people don't know is that not one single video that's ever gone viral has been planned. It was never planned. Not one of them. I mean, there's like seven plus, I don't know. And none of them were planned. They were always very spur of the moment ideas where I was just like, you know, in my car and thought, this is funny. And I would just film it and then throw it up there, you know, and it would go viral. So because I have three children and just I go through the same things that day-to-day life holds that everyone else goes through, I'm never going to run out of material. And truthfully, people who have a comedic sense of humor, the reason that they're funny and the reason that they resonate with people is because they're just bringing to the surface the things that everyone goes through, but you tend to put it in the back of your head, you know? So, like, every day, things happen all throughout the day that really are funny, but we just push it in the back of our heads. You know, it's not at the forefront of our minds. And I think that people who are comedians or considered comedians bring those things to the front surface, but they just do it in such a real way that you can't help but laugh. And that's what the majority of my videos are, is just very real stuff that happens that most people are experiencing, but not really talking about.
Gotcha. And Mike, I know you're listening, and just so you think, I totally skipped your first question. I didn't, but Carol Ann was already answering it before we even got a chance to ask it. So I just didn't reference it by name. So hopefully you got the answer to your question of how she was able to find the light and the motivation in all of her darkness, which I think she did a good job of covering. Shelly wants to know where she can find you. She wants to listen and watch, so she wants to come check you out. You do have your Facebook page, so can you let our listeners know what they should be looking for on Facebook and if there are any other places that they can connect with you?
Yeah, so my Facebook page is, well, the name of it is C-A, capital C, capital A, space, Miljavac. Miljavac is M-I-L-J-A-V-A-C. So if you Facebook search Carol Ann Miljavac or C.A. Miljavac, my page should come up. And then as far as Snapchat and Instagram goes, it's still C.A. Miljavac. All lowercase, no spaces, just C.A. Miljavac. And I do have a YouTube channel. It's on my Facebook page, so you could get there from my Facebook page. I'm not on there near as often. It's mainly Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. The funnies, most of the funnies are on Snapchat.
Most of the funnies are on Snapchat. All right, well, we're going to have to check that out. I can't beat a good funny. So, you know, one question we kind of talked about in jest, but, you know, obviously faith plays a big role in your life, but where do you turn to pull your motivation from in addition to your faith?
Yeah, so, okay, this is a question. I actually, if you do go to my Facebook page, you will find two live feeds that I just did this week that were totally about motivation because I get asked this so much. And, you know, anytime someone says to me what they are wanting to achieve, but then they say, I just can't get motivated, the first thing I know is that you don't know what you want. Because if you really wanted to achieve what you just said, then that alone would be your motivation. So I'm always asking people to continue to ask yourself self-reflecting questions, which the biggest one is why. And so if you say, I want to, you know, lose 10 pounds, then I'm going to ask you why. And then what you're going to do is you're going to give me a surface level answer. The first answer everyone gives me is, because I just want to be able to feel good in my bikini this summer. Well, that's not it, because if that was all you wanted, then you'd get up every day and you'd do your workout, because who doesn't want that? So that's not it. So then I'm going to say, okay, well, why do you want to feel good in your bikini? And then they're going to give me another answer, and I'm going to say, okay, why? And I'm going to keep asking them why until we get to the real root of what it is you want and why you want it and what it is that's going to get you to show up for yourself on the days that you don't want to. Because motivation is just like, people think it's just this thing that you can drink in the morning and you're just going to automatically have it. I mean, I can't ask anyone who has achieved any big goal. There were days they had to do crap they didn't want to do, and they had to do it unmotivated. You know, there's days where I get up and I do what I need to do, and I'm not motivated to do it. I don't want to. You know, we all have those days. Ladies, we have it once a month. We're like, don't want to do anything. I just want to eat chocolate and watch Netflix. Gilmore Girls. But, you know, sometimes you have to do it unmotivated. So what's going to get you to do it unmotivated? Well, it's going to be you loving yourself enough to show up for yourself on the days you don't want to do it. It's you acknowledging what the life is that it is that you're after and understanding that the person you are right now is not going to be the same person who achieves whatever that is. So what's got to happen in between who you are now and who you want to be is you showing up for yourself every day, even on the days you don't want to, which means you need to have a really clear vision of what it is you want out of life, and you've got to grasp it and hold on to it and just make a decision that nothing is going to throw you off track from getting there, even yourself, even your own feelings, even your worst day. You know, if the days that you show up for yourself when you didn't want to, or the days that you transform a little bit into the person who's in that daydream vision you have of what you want your life to be like, because that person shows up when they don't want to. That person comes home from work after a bad day and does the workout anyway. You know, that person says no to chocolate cake when they don't need to have it that day, even though they're super sad about something. So you have to recognize that. You also need to take responsibility for yourself. So you have to humble yourself enough to be able to say to yourself, I have gotten to where I am right now. I've gotten to a place that I am right now where I'm not happy and I'm not healthy because of decisions I made. It's not because, like, I could have made lots of bad decisions and said, well, but I lost my niece. And, you know, people will tell me, well, I was going through a divorce or you know, I lost my mom or I lost my dad, and I was just really, well, yeah, those things happen, and they're awful, and they happen to everyone, by the way. And so you have to be the kind of person who says, that happened, but I still made the choice to use food to make me feel better every day. I still made the choice to put bad food in my mouth. I still made the choice to not, you know, take care of my body so that it stops becoming about all your surroundings and you stop living a life that's, you know, completely dictated by your feelings that day. Because an emotionally driven life is a life where nothing gets done. You know, if you live by your emotions, then nothing's going to get done because our feelings are always all over the place every day according to what's going on. And so my motivation, one of the first things that I did was, one, establish that, recognize that, take responsibility. But then, two, I began listening to motivational speeches every single day. Every single day I listened to motivational speeches, which seemed so silly to me before I started doing it. But then I started doing it, and I realized that it really is true that, like, the first 20 minutes of your day is when your brain is impacted the most by whatever it is you're putting into it. So when you wake up in the morning and the first thing you're doing all day long is telling yourself, this today's going to suck, it's going to be a bad day, people who have that Monday mentality, you know, if that's what you're telling yourself first thing in the morning, then no wonder you don't make good decisions for yourself all day. But if you wake up, the first thing you're listening to is, you know, I really like Les Brown and Eric Thomas. Those are like my top two. But
Les Brown, you serious?
Yeah, I love Les Brown. Absolutely love him. Him and Eric Thomas, I would find compilations of their speeches on YouTube. And, you know, that's such an easy, simple thing you can do every day. It's also easy to choose not to do it. So it's like you either do it or you don't. But it's like put your earbuds in your ears. Listen to it while you're getting dressed. Listen to it, you know, while you're getting your clothes on and getting out the door. Listen to it in the car on the way to work. Listen to it on the way home. Listen to it while you're doing chores. Like, there's no time of day where you can't be putting something into your ears that is positive, encouraging, motivating, and uplifting. So that was a daily thing I began to do. I also began to not only read personal development books, but actually apply the concepts in them. There's a big difference between the two. You can buy all the personal development books you want and you can read them, but if you don't apply the concepts that they talk about into your life, it's wasted. It does you no good. You cannot keep doing the same things you've always done and expect to have a different life or expect to see results.
Insanity.
Yeah, the compound effect, you know, it's you are what you look at in the mirror, where your life is, what your financial situation, all the things about you and your life and who you are is a direct reflection of decisions you've made consistently day in and day out over the course of time. Boom, mic drop. Y'all can't see me. I got a microphone. I'm dropping it right now.
I can see video.
But you have the ability to change that. The good news about that mindset and mentality and truth, by the way, that's truth. It's not an opinion. That's the truth, is that you can change that. You can make a decision to start doing small things. These are small things. Listening to a motivational speech takes zero effort. You start doing things like that every single morning, and you can
but
not
that
only. You know, I know a lot of.
So heavy.
Well, I know a lot of the listeners here, you know, might even have a problem with working out, but I know that there are a lot of people who don't have a problem with working out, but they still have a problem being happy. You know, maybe you're super fit. You work out every day. You show up every single day to work out. But you're not happy and you're not joyful. Maybe you still don't like what you see. There's people who are so fit and they're still not happy and satisfied with their body. And it's because they don't like who they are on the inside. It's because you aren't taking care of yourself mentally and emotionally. And for me, spiritually is extremely important in that because I feel like the greatest way to love who you are is to know who God says you are. Because everything the world tells you about who you are is the exact opposite of what He says you are. And what He says you are is valuable, worthy, loved, free, and forgiven. And when
you
know
mic?
That, what? Yeah, another mic drop. When you know that, though, when you know that to the depths of your soul, you know that you know that you know, and you're rooted in that knowing, you will find that it just a side effect of that is those chains being broken, those chains of self-doubt, insecurity, guilt, laziness, you know, being ran by your feelings and emotional all the time, you'll find that you're able to actually live a life that is joyful and happy no matter what happens during your day. And that's the key, is to be able to live a life in a world that isn't all sunshine and rainbows all the time and still be happy and still be joyful and to be able to, as the scripture says, laugh without fear of the future. You can laugh. And I found my ability to laugh again, and I found it in God.
Honestly,
I'll
tell you what. I just love the head of this, I tell you. Oh,
well, and you know, and I have to say the conviction to begin doing these things that helped me become a better person with the motivational speeches and reading and application and wisdom You know, I think one fruit of the Spirit is wisdom, just knowing what you need to do, really stemmed from what he was putting on my heart. It wasn't something I read. It wasn't something somebody told me. It wasn't something I learned at church. It was from a personal relationship I began wanting to have and inviting into my life every day, just me and him, you know, just me and him talking and him putting things on my heart that I couldn't deny. And when I did that, I am a living, breathing reflection of a person who decided to let him in, let him have her life and what he did with it, you know, every single day. I mean, every month, like every viral video, the platform, like everything, all of it is just an example of a person who gave it up and let go of control. And so that's why I say I am a reflection of a faith-driven life.
Well, I tell you, look, here, come here. Give me a mental hug. And I'm ready for it. You ain't said nothing, child. Oh, my goodness. I'm so ready to go work out at this gym, I might tear some bricks out. And I ain't even care. Hallelujah. Let's get some guts. Man, let me tell you something. Okay, I got it out of my system. Okay.
I got you going Pentecostal up in here.
there you go. Woo, preach, child. How many microphones you got for first, woman? My goodness. Ooh, Desiree, I tell you.
I don't know,
Desiree,
but you got.
Desiree,
you
I'm
got.
You just press five people above me and just add them to go. Okay, I'm done.
All right, well, you got 4 minutes to get it out, so let's work it out.
Okay. Well, I was just going to think, because, you know, everything she's saying, you know, people hear this great and they're all energized, but, you know, there's some dark times in there, and I hope they don't just overlook that part or gloss over it. Like, okay, all the good is supposed to just fall on me because I'm ready. Because she just said, and I mean, she's reiterated two or three times, dark days happen. They're going to be there. So you better be ready for them. But there is a joy that comes from not you, but from the one you serve. And I think that's the biggest difference, because that's that umbrella on a rainy day. And I hope nobody missed that part, because it's so much energy coming from it. And you can feel the love. You can feel the passion. You can hear, I mean, feel just everything that's coming from her, but that comes from a journey in life that a lot of people are ready to take. And until you take that journey, you won't, I mean, you can hear what she's saying, but you can't really get the understanding without that time in your life to go through it. So snickerdoodle, mm-hmm. Mic drop, whatever else I need to say, and I'm giving it to Dev, and hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen to that. And so, Carol Ann, we have Bill, Samantha, and Dale. They're
and
all
Kaylin.
Saying to keep, and Kaylin, to keep your faith, and they will listen as long as you do just that. So thanks again so much for joining us tonight. You know, like we had talked about, you probably thought it was totally weird that we were asking.
Give me a microphone.
We didn't even quite know. We didn't even quite know what we were getting into, but also thanks to Ivy Potter for putting that lead out there for us to follow. So, again, thanks so much. You've definitely stirred Kate up tonight and a lot of folks, I think. But, just keep doing what you – oh, my goodness. Just keep doing what you're doing, girl. We've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you so much for asking. I was
So have a great one, and we'll be watching. We'll be watching those videos, so we'll be interested to see which one goes viral next.
Right.
Thank you. When I get out of Facebook jail, we'll see.
Sounds good. So on behalf of Carol Ann, myself, Kaylin, and the boys at P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.